The dark days are done, and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere. Sunny one so true, I love you.
Our next guest is one of those rare talents who has something to say and can say it funny. He's a writer-performer on the new Laugh-In and one of the most popular, outspoken, and entertaining personalities on the local news here in Los Angeles. He's won a half a dozen Emmys as a film critic and host of his own shows. Let's welcome Mr. John Barber, right over there.
This is John Barber. It's John Barber's World. It's 5 p.m. here on Monday. And another triple-digit day of heat here in Las Vegas. But I must tell you, I am so, so delighted to have our guest tonight, because a few months ago, I got a lot of calls from people who were very upset because they could not get through to talk to her, and we've been trying for weeks to get her back. She is back here now. Aside from the fact that she is terrific to talk to, as you will soon find out, is I just don't want to be talking about news events today. I just want to be talking about people. And the people I want to talk about are you. And Rosie is going to get to talk to you, and I'm going to just listen to that because I love her and I love you. And you know, I'm even having a hard time watching the Olympics. As much as I admire athletes are like musicians. Probably the only two professions in the world where you cannot fake excellence, and excellence is rewarded. I mean, if a musician goes off key, or an athlete can't hit a golf ball, it doesn't work. They can never fake it. And you heard at the top of the show, of course, that was Sinatra introducing me, and the song was sung by Sarita. The song was Sunny. But if you like the sound of that voice, and since we're sort of talking about the Olympics, if you want to hear the most beautiful rendition of Corcovado in Portuguese, then you go to my Facebook page. A fan has reposted Sarita singing Corcovado, and there will be a picture of Sarita standing next to Jay Mason, that fabulous actor who was totally in love with her and totally in love with her voice. But I guess for me, the hard part of watching the Olympics is I do not know who is performing in the cage. Whether it's the athletes performing in the cage or whether it's the poor hundreds of thousands outside of the cage, some of them trying to get in and some of them who can't even afford to get in. And I have no interest in really who's going to be winning, because I think the gold medal is going to go to the Brazilian mosquito. That little bugger has been very successful in keeping the best golfers in the world, the best from America, Rory McIlroy in England, you have some in Australia, who have just refused to go. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to grab a pencil and a piece of paper and you write down this phone number. The phone number, I seldom, if ever, open up the phones, but I want to hear from you today, as does our guest, whom I'm going to get to in just a second. The phone number is 1-888-627-6008. I'm going to repeat that again. 888-627-6008. And it's sort of serendipity that she is here, because this young lady is a brilliant musician in her own right. And she spent years as a very popular performer in Brazil. And I believe while she was in Brazil, she became interested in an ancient, numerology way of charting people's lives. She was already an accomplished astrologer, and she sort of combined the two, and she does the most remarkable readings. Her name is Rosie Cutter, and Rosie, I am so delighted you're back, and I'm sure a bunch of people are delighted that you're back. How are you, and how have you been?
Hey, John, I'm really good. I'm really good. Yeah, and since our last interview, I was just so pleased that I finally got to put a face to the name and meet you there in Vegas. That was so wonderful.
Well, I must tell you, it was just a joy meeting you. And, of course, that gorgeous hunk of partnership that you brought with you, with whom you live, who doesn't want his picture up there, and I promised I wouldn't put it up, and I didn't. But it was fabulous meeting you, and thank you so much. So very quickly, tell us why you happened to be in Vegas and where you were coming from with your friend at the time.
I went down to do a health retreat in Tijuana, where they have stem cells, chelation, biofeedback machines, ionic foot baths, where you put your feet in the water and all this weird colored stuff comes out. It's quite incredible. So I was doing a preventative exploratory health trip because I also do sometimes help people with their health and detoxification.
Well, you looked fantastic, and it worked, and we have our first caller on the line, and I promise I will get to them as soon as I can. Anyway, her name is Jacqueline, and she is from Missouri on line one. Jacqueline, welcome to the show. Say hello to Rosie and start asking her questions. Go ahead.
Hi, Rosie.
Hey there. How you doing?
Not too well at 66 years old.
Oh, wow.
Jacqueline, quick question. Do you have your radio on or your internet on?
No, I have the sound turned off.
Okay, good. Okay, keep going. Why are you not doing well at 66?
Because where I'm living the last 3 years have mold in there and other circumstances. Seems like all I have is bad luck. I don't want no new people in my life, and I'm just kind of tired of what's going on in this country.
Mm-hmm. Me too, Jacqueline. What is your birthday?
March 29th, 1950 at noon, but I understand on my day the time don't matter.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it matter?
I don't know. It's just a fluke, I guess.
Rosie, isn't the time important as to when somebody was born?
Well, in a lot of different practices, whether it's Vedic astrology or Western, yes, the time matters. But in the system that I work with, which is based on the 52 card deck that people play games and gamble with, actually one of the many benefits of it is that the time does not matter because everybody born on Jacqueline's birthday is a seven of clubs, the card of spiritual knowledge. Now, you know what, Jacqueline? You are the same card as many different comedians, for example, even Robin Williams and George Carlin, both sevens. And what sevens are here to do is be spiritual people. What do comedians do? They look at the dark side of life and try to shine some light on it so that we can all digest it so that it doesn't consume us. So first of all, you're always going to be a very perceptive person. And you got to make sure that you're not holding on to the environmental pressures around you. You know, a lot of the stuff that you think and you feel is actually from around you. So it's important for someone like you, any kind of spiritual knowledge, reading about your astrology, all that stuff, you're the card of spiritual knowledge. And so you always are being pushed towards the high side because the low side of seven and nine can be worry, pessimism, doubt, depression. And we all grapple with that, but you're kind of a more aware person and you see beneath those veils more than the average person. So the very best thing that someone like you can do is start to say when those negative thoughts come in, hey, you know, I'm thankful for the gift of life and the many gifts I receive daily. I understand that this is a battleground between good and evil down here, and I'm always going to ask God and the higher energies to bring me up to the side of good. It's important for you more than most people.
Could I ask you a question?
Tell me.
Because most people who say they have bad luck, and Jacqueline is saying she has bad luck, she doesn't say bad luck because she just thinks she has bad luck. Bad things happen to good people.
A lot, yeah.
Okay, Jacqueline, I hate to bring it up, But what are some of the bad things that have happened to you that make you think you have bad luck? Maybe there have been times when you've had good luck and just intermittently bad luck checks in. Because I've always said, you know, that a very healthy body can be destroyed by just one cancer cell. But a cancerous body cannot be made well by one good cell.
Mm-hmm. So that's true.
People who have good luck, if something bad happens, they all of a sudden think it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to you, Jacqueline?
Oh, where do I start?
Oh, my God.
It started when I was 11 years old. Well, just like, three years ago, they put a used air conditioner in. It had mold and made me sick. I didn't realize till later it causes candida. And then this year, they sprayed bugs and didn't let us know, and my back door was open. And I smelled it, went to shut it, and I breathed it in. And, I mean, I went like that for 3 weeks. And I'm in alternative care, and I've healed myself many times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to heal when you're continually, you know, having mold around. So, I am in the process of moving, but I have no family, no friends, and I just don't know what's going to go happen.
Well,
Rosie, quickly, could you give Jacqueline some kind of encouraging news if it's there?
Yeah, I can actually see, you can break it down to 52-day periods. And Jacqueline, I can see that you are going to move, and the move is going to be very good and protected. You have all fives, which is the card of travel, change, relocation, and it's going to be definitely for the better. It's in Jupiter, so that's going to be good. You know, if you get my email off the website, there are very inexpensive things that you can do and household products that can help alkalize and detox you. Very old remedies.
Oh, I got that information already.
Wonderful. Well, you're definitely going to move, and it's going to be for the better. Don't you worry about that. And you got some new friends. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just, it's been storming for so long.
Will I move once or multiple times?
I think
the opportunity I have coming up, I'm not really, you know, wanting it, but whatever. I got to go with the
Jacqueline,
flow.
I don't know how many times you're going to move, but you have to move once just to get out of there. And
yeah.
I'm going to say goodbye to you, good move to you, and good luck, and thank you so much, Rosie.
No problem.
Now we're going to go
thank
to...
Thank you.
Thank
you're
you so much, dear. Good luck. Now we're going to go to North Carolina and Susan. Susan, say hello to Rosie. And goodness, I hope you've had better luck than Jacqueline.
Hi, Rosie. Yes, my life's been great. I can't complain. I've looked on your chart, and I am a 10 of diamonds.
Oh, hey.
March the 13th. Tell me more.
Okay, so first of all, you and your card and my card are special mirrors for each other. So the 10 of diamonds isn't just the blessed card sitting on the Jupiter line. Many famous people are 10 of diamonds, from Jim Carrey to Zooey Deschanel. And you also have this higher side of spirituality, which is mirrored by my card, the Queen of Clubs. So even though you have all these wonderful blessings around you in the material world and you're very talented, you still have this great gift towards spiritual endeavors, knowledge, serving people. So anytime that you go towards that, that will always bring more blessings. And the later years of your life are filled with lots of expansion and travel. I would imagine that, you know, you almost have like the Midas touch, I guess is what they would call it. What do you do?
Marketing, creative work.
Yeah, that's what you're here to do. And it says that you should run a business as large as possible. You shouldn't think small, because really you're here. Diamonds is not just money. It's values. Look what we do. We trade our time for some money to buy something we think is valuable. So you're here to elevate people's values. And being a 10 of diamonds, I would almost think this is like kind of a blessing life for you, where you've paid a lot of dues, and in this life you kind of get to reap the rewards of your good karma. And so it's very restless emotionally. Are you married?
No.
How old are you? Do you mind me asking?
Not at all. 56.
Okay.
Well, is there a relationship coming?
I can just look and see real quick. So when did you say your birthday was?
March the 13th.
Okay, so you just had it. You just turned 56.
So yeah. Maybe part of your good luck was not being married.
Well, yeah, there you go. Oh my gosh, John, you're such a comedian. Well, Susan, what I'm going to tell you is that this is going to be one of the very best years for you, for your career in general, and you are going to meet some people, but I think it might even be more than one guy is in your field, and that's how things usually happen, is they come in twos or threes, but that is going to definitely happen probably around the holiday season. You will start to meet some people of interest, and then you can decide, because 57 is a wonderful year for relationship long term and marriage. Basically, you have the marriage card at 57.
Susan, what compelled you to call Rosie, and how long have you been interested in this subject? Have you been interested in it a long time? Has it proven anything to you, or are you interested in it just recently?
Now, I've followed astrology since I was 12. I've always believed in reincarnation. I am very metaphysical and spiritually expanding all the time. And so, you know, it's just something that I enjoy, and it's like a hobby, but it's also part of my life.
Well, you know something, Rosie, somebody being spiritual and metaphysical, it's not something that people learn. It is not even something that you can teach people. They are just born with that quality. So do you think there is something to reincarnation?
I do. Oh, yeah. I think whether people want to think about it in a linear point of view, or if people want to think about it that we're all in some parallel dimensions existing at once, there is definitely a law of cause and effect. And in astrological charts, you can see when people abuse their power in the past and they're forced to be more loving and considerate in this life. Those things are very strong. And a lot of Vedic and Chinese and very old religions and studies believe in some sort of wheel of recycling the souls. I don't know if it's
Rosie, if Susan's going to get married at 56, what?
57. So she's going to meet him this year.
Okay, she'll meet him this year. Should she want to know what his card is or his astrological sign is? What would be best for her?
He could be a King of Diamonds. That's her reward, which is also incredible success in her business life and mastering things in general. There are several different cards that are very compatible for her. It could be a Jack of Diamonds, King of Diamonds. But whoever it is, I have a feeling that he's going to be the role of the king, because she has a King of Hearts. So it doesn't mean that the man's card needs to be that, but it means that he has the integrity and acts like a king. So it's a much more serious relationship, and it's somebody who can maybe show her some of the finer things in life, because I have a feeling Susan's the one who's always treating her friends.
Susan, if you meet a man, would you ask him if he was the King of Hearts or the King of Diamonds?
Well, you just need his birthday, and you could secretly do it.
Yeah, that's right. I would do that.
Okay. I'm so glad you called. I wish you the best of luck. And let us know if you do meet the guy and get married and when you're 57. Thank you so much. Good luck to you, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Rosie.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye, dear. We have on line one now a woman from Carolina. Caroline from Missouri. Caroline, how are you? Say hello. Welcome to the show and say hello to Rosie.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you, Rosie. Hi, John. It's been a while since we talked on the phone. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Oh, yes, now I recognize you. How are you and how are your kitties?
Well, we actually have a few of them. We've gotten some out. The rest of them we're having to rescue. So it would be nice to hear what Rosie might be able to forecast, both for them and for the future. And, boy, I was just listening to the other wonderful lady. Well, if you can find me a soulmate, let me know where to go look.
Okay. Sometimes the trick is slowing down. What's your birthday?
4/24/58.
Okay. So how old are you right
now? I'm as old as dirt and getting dirtier. I'm 58.
You are just adorable. You are the 10 of clubs, a 10 just like the previous caller. You are the same card as Madonna, Shirley MacLaine, Kim Basinger, Barbara Streisand, Nicole Kidman, Jim Morrison, Diana Ross, Laurence Olivier. You are a very powerful person, and you are definitely here to do something in society where you teach people knowledge, information, something like this. But you are a very powerful lady, and your career is obviously the forefront of your life, I would imagine. Do you have a kitten rescue? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I actually had started having cats do therapy work with autistic kids and PTSD soldiers.
Oh, that's one beautiful. That's so beautiful. I worked with autistic kids as a speech therapist. I'm looking at your birthday, and I see that you've been in kind of a tough time, but really all it's asking for you to do is kind of just to let go a little bit. I know things have been a little frustrating and not working out for you as much as they could. It also seems like you've been worried about finances, but really that worry, that stress, all of it is the same energy as branching out into new directions and finding new creative ways to make money. You know, electricity goes through the house. If I plug in the computer, it's useful. If I drop it in the bathtub, it's destructive. It's the same force. So I could see how you wouldn't be very happy right now. You're kind of in a teeter-totter thing. But, you know, your birthday present for next year can be a big windfall of money and letting go of a lot of your worries about money and finding yourself provided for. And I almost see like a lot of travel or change. I don't know if you're planning on moving or something like this.
Yes, I'm having a hard time figuring out where I should move to. That's just something that John knows that I'm not sure where to move anymore.
Well, there's a free program that you can go on the internet that has astrocartography, where you can look and click on anywhere in the world, and it tells it what's it's like there for you, and that's all free. But you know, you're really, everything is going to settle down by the end of September, so the best thing to do is in this time be a little bit gentle with yourself, and you know, you have very spiritual cards. How does spirituality come? Usually by people letting us down a little bit or things not working out the way we think, and then it's still okay and we can have more faith, and usually afterwards we realize it turned out better. So by the end of September, you're in a very strong place financially. You even have like success with large groups of people, and you will be moving somewhere, and that new beginning will be very nice for you, I think. That'll be a whole fresh start, actually. But you know, your kind of card, you even can have trouble sleeping at night. It's like a mind that never stops. So it's important for you to harness. Yeah, you got to harness in that electricity in healthy, positive ways, whether it's walking, hiking, researching. I'm sure you have a huge library, but don't let it run you. You know, the mind is a very tricky thing. And there are energies that feed off of negative thinking and worry and stress and doubt. And it's not good. Like, you wouldn't talk to your little kitties like that. You wouldn't be stress, 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 worry, worry, but we do it to ourselves in our head. So that's what you need to work on right now. But everything by September 28th, you move into a wonderful period where everything is much more stable and supported for you.
Wow, that's fabulous. I actually do have a big thing happening on the 27th of September, so that is really wild that you picked that date. That's amazing.
Okay, and then can I tell you one more thing that's just exciting? Guess what your birthday present is for the end of 59, so a year and a half from now, hopefully. The Two of Hearts, the Lover's card. So a satisfying
lover.
Yep, so a real
satisfying. That would be good. Are you going to tell me John got cloned by then?
Yeah, maybe that technology is available if they're sharing just the little bits with us with the pigs and the sheep. You know, they got people. So yeah, actually, but that is your birthday gift, and that is where you will end up.
Wow.
So that's what you're working towards. So just clear everything up and get your career going, because that's the biggest thing for all 10 of Clubs women. And the happier you are when you do your gift for the world, God rewards you with a more satisfying love life, because you've done your duty, sort of a thing.
Well, Rosie, you said something really important to her when you said that she was great with groups. I think Carolyn is one of the few people I know who has the 5,000 maximum friends on Facebook. And two other things. One, you said she was coming into money. Her birthday was 4/24. That happens to be my birthday. So I hope that applies to me, too. But you said something to her that was very quick, that might have gone by anybody, but I think is enormously profound. You said to her very early, and hopefully you remembered it, Carolyn, she said, you've got to slow down. Do you remember Rosie saying that to you?
Yes, and I got a feeling in my heart she's right, because I've been so hard trying to turn negatives into positive, and I keep and the sleeping part too has been a problem. I can't turn my mind off. You know that. It's just
let me tell you something about that, if you've got a second. I was 46 sure. years of age, and I had a 9-year-old boy. I was reluctant to have a child because of my background, and I had been very successful locally, but I kept getting fired from shows when I was in Los Angeles. And I decided, 46, I remember exactly where I was. I was walking down the street about 50 yards from my home next to a golf course, and I said to myself, I'm giving up the business. And I decided that I would honestly give up the business and become a father to my son. I would become the father that I had never had, okay? I totally gave it up. In other words, I totally psychically relaxed. The next day, I got a phone call out of nowhere. And 4 months later, I had Real People on NBC and the number one show in America for 3 years. And it all came about because I quit. I just decided to relax. You will never really meet your lover or your soulmate or get it what it is you want if you're desperate about it. You have to be calm about it. You have to be accepting about it. Anyway, Carolyn, great to talk to you again. Thanks for calling in. Rosie, can I ask you a question about, since you were in Brazil for so long as a professional performer, what were your thoughts and experiences while you were down there? And what do you think of the fact that they're holding the Olympics in Brazil as we speak?
Well, I mean, I'm amazed that they pulled it off. As anybody who knows who's lived in Central and South America, it's not like Asia. The infrastructure is very lacking, whether it's even just roads, plumbing, this whole situation. Wonderful people, beautiful people. Bossa Nova music is my very favorite. You were speaking of Corcovado before. I mean, they just are unbelievable musicians. They're very family oriented. They throw great parties. I've never been to a country where the government sponsored so many parties and even paid the musicians halfway decent. But all that being said, it's actually quite communistic. Things that we take for granted, like I lived in a very chic place. I lived all over the country, but I eventually settled in Florianopolis, which is a beautiful island in the south of Brazil, and it actually even gets cold there in the winter. It's not too far from Buenos Aires. And literally on every radio station at 7 p.m. every night, the same news broadcast would come on. And it was just like, you know, and it's like prime driving time, and they're really into their music. And of course you can have other things on, but just weird things like that. And it's very regulated and controlled as to even opening bank accounts and stuff. So in a way it's very sad what's happening, because when I was living there, there was a huge amount of inflation. The real was like 2-1. It was making more money than ever before. And it was very expensive. You know, you think you're going to go there and it's going to be cheap. But now it has plummeted again. And I mean, John, these are people like out of the jungle, and they're suddenly on getting credit cards to buy sneakers. Everything's on credit. Everything. In a mall, your blender, it has the price in reais for 10 payments. Okay. So they've basically like done to Brazil what they did to America in the 80s and 90s, and built it, inflated, printed money. And now this is the result of that. And I'm not surprised that the athletes are like, everything's falling apart, because that's just kind of the way things are there.
Well, you know, Rosie, you say they're falling apart there because they're kind of communistic. We're falling apart here because we're unfettered capitalistic.
Well, I'm not saying that's why they're falling apart. I was just surprised at how different the two systems were. Just, you know what I mean? Like there, it's supposed to be a democracy, but if you don't vote, even in the local elections, they turn off your social security number, basically. And you can't use your bank account. You can't use your cell phone. So it's very interesting. Things are falling apart because there's obviously an energy of entropy. And this is the
case. In Australia, if you don't vote, they fine you.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you know, we could have instant democracy in this country right now. With our cell phones and our computers, we could vote on war and peace. We could vote on anything. But I must tell you, I don't think they want a participatory democracy in this country anymore. That's just my observation from the time that they turned John Kennedy and built this war machinery that Eisenhower warned about, and now Gore Vidal said we're going to have petrol war forever, and Gore Vidal said the war on terrorism is like the war on dandruff. It's never ending. Anyway, I just love the fact you were here. People love talking to you. Where can they contact you? Where can they find you?
Okay, so if anybody wants to get private sessions, we can look in the past, the future, we can look at locations. My email is Rosie Cutter, R-O-S-E-Y-C-U-T-T-E-R, @yahoo.com. I'm on Facebook as Rosie Cutter, R-O-S-I-E-C-U-T-T-E-R. See, I've got to make a lockdown on all the names like an octopus. And then they can reach me by email that way or by Facebook. And I do private sessions, and I can even do written sessions where I send them information just to read about their astrology.
Well, Rosie, thank you so, so much. You're really fabulous, and you're really good at what it is that you do. And I can't wait to have you back again and do this once again. The very best of luck to you, dear, and I'll talk to you shortly, and we'll be right back with Joe Satilli, who is by far the best investigative journalist and reporter in America. Be right back.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
This is John Barber of John Barber's World every other Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. I'm telling you about a terrific show, The New Criminal Minds, with outstanding actor Gary Sinise, called Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, a tough drama about a special unit of the FBI involved in protecting Americans who are beyond borders. It follows the regular Criminal Minds, airing every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't miss it. Gary Sinise is outstanding.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Thank you for that smile upon your face, oh sunny.
Hi, this is John Barber. You may remember me as the co-host, producer, and creator of Real People, America's first reality show, or most recently as the writer-director of what's been called the definitive documentary on JFK's murder, The Last Word on the Assassination. Now I'm doing a show every other Monday from 5 to 6 Pacific Time on BBS. You'll hear provocative views, unreported news, and film reviews from me with outstanding guests and you. Join me on John Barber's World.
Those of you who have an ongoing interest in the JFK assassination might want to know about this. TV producer John Barber. He put together a dream team of JFK researchers, including Coast regular Jim Mars and world-class JFK writers Dick Russell and Joan Mellon. They all got together at UNLV in front of a live audience. They had a screening of Barber's terrific, and I'd say historic, film based on interviews with prosecutor Jim Garrison of New Orleans. And then after the film was shown, the experts all talked about the latest JFK theories and evidence. It's now out on a DVD. Terrific stuff. I'm George Knack, Coast to Coast AM.
Hi again, this is John Barber. Welcome to John Barber's World. I want to thank George Knapp for that wonderful unsolicited review about The Last Word on the Assassination. If you go to Amazon, you'll find over 100 unsolicited rave reviews about that DVD. And I want to thank you all for continuing to make that a bestseller for Amazon, because all of the revenue that we get from that goes into part two of the Garrison tapes called The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. a documentary that I believe will be the Woodstock of documentaries, the godfather of documentaries, because it tells the entire story, the entire history of the CIA, Project Mockingbird, the CIA's infiltration of the media, the folks in the media who helped hide the assassins, the true killers, a case that Jim Garrison solved in 1967 when he arrested Clay Shaw. But I would never be able to do it without the unbelievable support of my cohort here on the show, Joe Satilli, Myra Bronstein, a computer whiz in Charlotte, North Carolina, Gary Fannin, who's written a book called The Innocence of Oswald, and a brilliant lawyer in Brian Lloyd in Washington, D.C., who has collected over the years just hundreds and hundreds of magazines and newsreels and newspapers about the media and the assassination of John Kennedy. So thank you all. And Joe, welcome to the show again. And your impressions about having the Olympics in Brazil, and why do you watch them if you're watching them?
You know, I watch for those events like archery, table tennis, oddities. You know, I'm interested in oddities and subcultures. And one of the things that you find with a lot of these sports that are not the mainline sports, it's not Usain Bolt working out, you know, it's not track and field, it's not basketball. But, this is one of the things I love about the Winter Olympics. I can sit and watch curling forever. It's better than a Somonex. It's actually – I kid the people in the Great White North. Curling, I am gripped to curling. It's like I can't let go of curling, because what you realize is when you watch some of these sports where the reason why they are competing is not because they're making money, not because they're seeking fame or fortune, but they truly love the event. The craft. They work many jobs sometimes to put themselves in a position to compete. And there's a subculture around them. I like those. As to the Olympics generally, I see it as just a giant slush fund for corporations, for the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, as Harry Shearer always likes to prod it. And Harry Shearer, the great Harry Shearer on Le Show, has been prodding and poking and undercutting the Olympic movement for going on 25, 30 years. As he says, it's a movement. You know, I have one movement every morning, the same time. That's enough of a movement for me. But it's the sad thing is a place like Brazil, where you're looking at, what, $5 billion to pull this thing off, and you have favelas a stone's throw away from where people are living these wonderful, luxurious lives, and flying in and watching these events, and you have poverty. And I mean, not just poverty, but stark poverty. And you have 80 to 85,000 security forces in and around the favelas, where you have fences being built so that the poverty is hidden. In a country where you have this instance of great poverty, it does seem criminal to also have this great luxury, which is what the Olympics really are, to my mind.
You know what it's like, Joe? It's like these free speech zones that the cops put up at the conventions.
Right. Well, I mean, it's actually, I would say it's worse than that, because the free speech zones are being enjoyed, if they are being used, by people who have no concept of the type of poverty that people in Brazil are experiencing, particularly in the favelas. I mean, we are talking about a level of poverty. I do not mean to undermine or diminish the stark trouble that many Americans have with poverty in this country, living paycheck to paycheck. You know, interesting, Rosie's insight into Brazil, that what happened there was that capital rushed in, and not the kind of capital that actually builds widgets, but the kind of capital that we call financialization, that rushes in, floods the zone with credit, rapidly builds up a big box consumer environment, gets everybody indebted and turns them into long-term debt slaves. The kind of thing that happened with what we seem to think is a great era of economic growth in the Clinton administration, which was really all predicated on credit card debt. It was just cheap stuff coming in from China, thanks to his relationship to China, developed through most favored nation trading status, which opened the door for Walmart to go there, get out of its child labor situations in Bangladesh and Honduras, and move into cheap Chinese labor, and then flood those products back into America and give everybody a bunch of credit cards to do it with. By the time Clinton was done, the average card-holding family had 5 credit cards.
Oh, my goodness.
5. Jeez. So this is something that happened, unfortunately, in Brazil as well. And a lot of that, by the way, was predicated on what? Petrobras, the big oil, the state, you know, private partner oil company. And which is why you have ongoing political corruption there with Dilma Rousseff, who go, you know, with the trial that is pending and whatnot. So it's kind of sad to me, John. My modest proposal, and I don't think I'm the first to propose this. I did see this somewhere else. Why not have the Olympics every year, every 4 years in Athens? Athens, Greece runs off of tourism. They held the Olympics there recently, which means they have a bunch of stadiums and venues that are not being used. Instead of those lying fallow for the until the rest of infinity, so that eventually in 1,000 years people will dig it up and say, "Oh, they must have had grand games every year." And you know,
well, you know what would make it more? You know, Joe, I must tell you, that's an absolutely brilliant idea. It is like going to Scotland to play golf. You know, the British Open, the greatest golf tournament in the world, and you could make it if you go back to Athens. And they run on the plains of Marathon as they did in the original days of it. They could make it much more popular by having the athletes run today as they did then, which was stark naked.
Exactly. It would be great. Just think of, I mean, all the dangly parts going this way and that. I mean, that's certainly, that's sort of a Trumpification of the Olympics, if you think about it, you know. I mean, hopefully everybody has big hands in the competition. But
What a great word, Trumpification. Oh, my God, I think we're going to hear that a lot in the next couple of years.
Well, we already heard it with the Olympics because NBC scored about a $1.2 billion ad buy going into the Olympics. And one NBC executive on a conference call with media folks, you know, John, you used to do this when you were in the news side of it. Whenever a movie comes out or there's a big event, television event, you have a conference call with all of the critics and all of the insider reporters and whatnot, and you tout what you've got going. Well, the NBC executives believe that all of the negative news about Zika, about human fecal matter in the waterways, about the poverty, about the possibility of terrorism has boosted their ad sales because advertisers are saying, "Ooh, wait, something really bad could happen, and if there's a scandal, people will be watching and we'll cash in." I mean, is that not the most television thing you've ever heard in your life?
That's the most American thing I have heard in my whole life. That is monumentally depressing. And I mean, sorry about that.
We need better call up Rosie again to turn a few cards to get this on the track. By the way, Rosie Cutter, I mean, that really is an art. That is an undeniable art that I admire greatly, the ability to take something like a deck of cards and turn it into a wonderful spiritual metaphysical experience that becomes incredibly satisfying to human beings. That's something to be admired.
Well, she is remarkable at that. And truthfully, and I told her at lunch and I've told her on the air that I don't know that I necessarily believe that kind of thing, but I saw a USC professor back in the 1950s, in the early days of television, when they would let a professor go on the air for an hour and just talk about science. Anyway, this guy Baxter got on and he was explaining about all these particles flying through the universe that we never see that penetrate our atmosphere after traveling a billion miles. And who's to say, he said, that one of these particles didn't strike the brain of Shakespeare or Wagner or Mozart. And all of a sudden you have a prodigy, because how do you explain it? So what he in essence was saying was kind of endorsing astrology. That's the first time that I thought, whoa, maybe there's something to it. And then, of course, my two favorite writers, Mark Twain and William Shakespeare. Shakespeare said, "The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings." Shakespeare put a lot of value in astrology and the position of the stars. And, of course, Mark Twain forever talked about being born when Halley's Comet came by, and he said, "In 75 years, when it goes, I go." And it happened. Now, whether he willed that to happen, I don't know, but he sort of called it. So I'm still iffy about that, but she's wonderful at that. Anyway, in today's news, Vandal, speaking of five credit cards and money, you had four or five really interesting articles about money and the stock market. Why on earth is the stock market doing so well?
Here is the simplest cause and effect. The Federal Reserve engaged in something called quantitative easing, where they were putting billions of dollars through, basically through bonds, into the market to stabilize the global economy. That's what it was called in the months and years after the 2008 crash. What this quantitative easing did is it artificially pumped money into the economy, but it didn't go into the economy. It actually went into the hands of Wall Street. And what Wall Street did, by and large, is use that money to speculate. One of the reasons I believe why we had so many unicorns, a unicorn is a internet company located here in the Bay Area where I live predominantly that has achieved $1 billion or a decacorn, a $10 billion valuation without ever having gone public, often without ever having achieved any kind of revenue stream or any kind of functional business model that draws in revenue at all.
But do they make anything?
Then, well, they often what they make, like in
besides
the case,
money.
Like in, well, Instagram, they create an app, right? And they create a user interface or a social media environment like Instagram. But monetizing it is very, very difficult. Well, what happened with some of that money is that it rushed into these hot startups in the terms of fundraising rounds. And one of the reasons why they kept raising money, because they're raising money on the potentiality of someday going public. And so many of these decide it's better off not going public, because if we go public and people start to analyze the fundamentals of our company, it won't be worth $10 billion. It'll be worth $500,000 or something. You know, it'll be something ridiculously off kilter. So it's better to raise money on potentiality than it is to try and cash in on the reality of it. And that is where some of the money went. A lot of the money went overseas, which is why the Panama Papers was so important. Now, not a lot of Americans figured in the Panama Papers, but there are places inside the United States like Delaware where you can actually hide money. And Nevada is another place. And another thing that happened was that money was so widely available that the captains of industry who had their compensation tied to the performance of the stock market would take this free money or borrow money at low or no interest rates, at a low or no interest rate, then buy their own stocks. And when they bought their stocks, all of a sudden the stock value started to go up. Supply and demand. I have a big supply of my own, you know, Bob's Incorporated stock out there. I'm going to go buy up a bunch of Bob's Incorporated stock. And as I buy them up, people go, oh, this is a hot stock. And the value of the stock goes up and their compensation package goes up. Stock buybacks is maybe one of the last and most, how can you say it? The most obvious gaming of the system that we have seen in the last 20 years. And it is going on even today, where companies buy their own stocks to artificially pump up the price. And they can do so. They can afford to do so. If the interest rate, let's just say the Fed's interest rate was at 4.5, just for the sake of argument. If the Fed is loaning money at 4.5 and overall interest rates are somewhere between 4.5 and 5.2%, there's no way you can afford to carry the interest that you would be carrying to borrow that money and buy the stocks. If the money's free, why not? There's no risk. So pump up your stocks, and you pump up the stock market.
That is dreadfully sad, because these corporations, the price of their stock rises because their executives are buying it and not because the public is buying their product. And I think that is enormously scary. Now, you mentioned the Fed. Not once during this past year and a half of electioneering by the candidates, even from Bernie Sanders, was there ever any mention of the Federal Reserve. The last politician who mentioned it and then ran off and did nothing about it was Ron Paul. First of all, why is it that this private bank gets no mention from major politicians, and why is it that we cannot, or the public cannot, challenge this bank. And is it true that in, I believe, North Dakota, they have a public bank that challenges the Fed?
I'm not sure about the North Dakota thing. I will look that up now as you say that. But here's the thing about the Fed. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to do. The Fed, in a sense, has worked itself with its long-term interest rate policies, which have artificially inflated the amount of financialization and the debt load of individuals and the government, but particularly individuals. You know, one of the things that happened when Reagan ran up the debt, he ran it up on, you know, cutting taxes and not cutting entitlements and a huge defense spending package. And that created a massive debt. Well, when Clinton became president, what he did is he cut the deficit and he reduced the debt. And everybody said, hooray, hooray, hooray. But it's not that the economy was suddenly paying for itself. It's just that the debt load went from the federal government, from all of us, to individuals, to consumers, because the economic growth that was stimulated by consumer credit, just the way it was stimulated during the Reagan economic miracle, morning in America, by government spending. So either way, you're acquiring debt. So the long-term problem with the entire economic system is that it is financialized. In other words, most of the money now that's being made is being made off of turning debt into a commodity. And until that changes, the Fed is kind of stuck. It can't do anything. In a sense, if you were to eliminate the Fed tomorrow, the entire house would come down. And that's one of the reasons why the Fed remains, because it's like the final little Jenga piece in the tower. And once you pull the Fed out, the whole system collapses. So,
But Joe, maybe it wouldn't come down. I mean, John.
Well, no, this system would come down. And
something new
would arise, because if you look at it this way, the economy, as my good friend and guy who brings me on his show, the Ocelli Effect, Chuck Ocelli, says, he calls it the zombie economy. I call it a corpse. In 2008, the economy died and we have a corpse. What the Fed does is pour formaldehyde all over it. It's keeping it in formaldehyde. If you get rid of the Fed, the formaldehyde is gone, and then you got a really stinky corpse.
Okay, but in 62, John Kennedy signed that executive order 11110 that allowed the Treasury to print silver notes, okay? That would have put the Federal Reserve out of business. Of course, at 12:30 on November 22nd, when he was killed, the presses stopped. But there were only two or three presidents who ever challenged that central bank. Why can't it be challenged again when the corruption and the destruction that it causes a society is so apparent?
Because they have the two-party system.
Well, there's nothing in the Constitution about the two-party system. Anyway, Joe, where can they hear you again? Where can they get News Vandal? And I must tell you, folks, you must get the News Vandal. I am one of Joe's supporters. You can go – where is it? Patreon, they can go
P-A-T-R-E-O-N. It's Patreon. Just type in News Vandal Patreon, and you can support the cause there. Or you can go to newsvandal.com. I have a Patreon button there. If you go to newsvandal.com, a box will pop up. You can sign up for the rundown. And you should also support the second assassination of John F. Kennedy, which is being written, directed, produced, and just the force of will that is John Barber is going to make this movie happen. It's going to be something special, and that is a worthy cause as well.
Well, thank you for that. But I want them to watch and see you. You will be on a Chili Show, and you have a show Friday on a PBS station?
No, it's Crew, KRUFM. If you just type in KRU. You can find me Fridays at 2:30 Pacific time, the week that was with the News Vandal. In a half an hour, I'll get you caught up on everything that happened in the week. At least I'll try.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. Very, very, very much. The best of luck to you. And I want to thank you all for calling. I want to thank Rosie for being on the show. I want to thank Sarita again for singing the song. Doug for being my engineer, and to Mike Kim, who is the best producer in radio. Thank you all so much. You all have a terrific week, and I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. So as Ed Murray used to say, good night and good luck.
You're my spark of nature's fire. You're my sweet, complete desire. A sunny, 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 I love.